God, Christ, Gurus. We're hoping that our audio is going through this week. We had troubles last week. Eventually we were able to broadcast, but it took some time, and I know that when we dropped off, many of you did as well. So we apologize for that. It's not our intention, but we set it up early this time, and hopefully everything's working correctly. I'd like to read to you from a talk that Mother gave in 1972. And it's for Thanksgiving service. And she begins, "Many, many years ago, Master wrote one of the most tremendous poems. He developed it in front of a large audience. It just came to him. And so he said it as the words were given to him. And it made a tremendous impression on all those who were present. He entitled it, God, God, God. But later he replaced this with God, Christ, Guru. Because he realized that his disciples who followed him, so that they might find their oneness with God, related in a Western world with the Christ consciousness. He accepted this relationship as no one I have ever met in my life, because it was through the lips of my blessed Master, through his own exemplary life, that I too found the Christ within myself. And I would like to read to you this morning, from the depths of slumber, as I ascend the spiral stairways of wakefulness, I will whisper, God, Christ, Guru. Thou art the food, and when I break my fast of nightly separation from thee, I will taste thee and mentally say, God, Christ, Guru. No matter where I go, the spotlight of my mind will I ever keep turning on thee. And in the battle din of activity, my silent war cry will be, God, Christ, Guru. When boisterous storms of trial shriek, and when worries howl at me, I will drown their clamor, loudly chanting, God, Christ, Guru. When my mind weaves dreams with threads of memory, and when my then on that magic cloth will I emboss, God, Christ, Guru. Each night in time of deepest sleep, my peace dreams and calls to me, joy, 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 and my joy comes singing evermore, God, Christ, Guru. In waking, eating, working, dreaming, sleeping, serving, meditating, chanting, divinely loving, my soul will constantly hum, unheard by any, God, Christ, Guru. Mother continues, and then he wrote a prayer for his disciples. It is a prayer word for word, which says, which I would say to you, and which I would say to God. Father, thou art the only king sitting on the throne of my desire. All of those that come to me, bless them. My only desire for them is the gift of thy love. My one thought is to place thee upon the throne of their hearts. Thou art my life, my love, my everything. I pledge my unconditional loyalty to thee. May thy love shine forever on me, and may I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Whereas thou hast given to me the will, strength, and power to bring other souls back to thy grace, souls who have wandered, brothers and sisters who have strayed on the pathway of incarnations, make me the transparent medium through which thy light may shine in their hearts, dispelling the darkness forevermore. May I remember always not myself, but thee. Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, I thank thee from my innermost heart that Thou hast graced my life with Thine omnipresence. Help me to spread Thy message. I want to extol not myself, but Thee. May Thou be the speaker through my voice. May my will always express Thy will. Be Thou the only desire, back of all of my desires. Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, unite all our hearts at a greater altar where Thine omnipresence may shine forth. Thou wilt not cast us away. Remember us, though we remember Thee not. Be not indifferent to us, though we have been indifferent to Thee. Place in our minds and our hearts the all-important truth that Thou art the God we are seeking. Our loyalty to Thee may come and go, but remain Thou in our hearts forever. Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, receive this unctuous prayer of my soul. Many times has the song of the nightingale of sense pleasures lured me away from my love from Thee. Thou hast ever blessed me by granting to me all my prayers. In this closing chapter of my life, may Thou be the one life guiding me, giving me only the desire to place Thee in the hearts of the devotees whom Thou hast sent me. Be that Thy greatest blessing, that they may be with Thee constantly, in the wakeful hours and in times of sleep and dreams, with Thee ever through eternity, and feeling Thy presence in this dream incarnation, may Thou be the only King reigning on their hearts. All my love, all my devotion, all my loyalty I pour at Thy feet, O Lord, for I see the dreams of this life have all passed, and Thou art forever my beloved. May I place that love in the hearts of those here, that they may see Thy presence behind the delusion of this life. Thou art the immortal shelter. Forsake us not, though we have sought the desires and ambitions of this life. These are all Thy tests, to bring us at last to Thy feet. Why do not these, Thy devotees, realize Thou art testing us through the trivial perceptions, moods, and habits of incarnations? Protect us from ourselves. Test us with delusion, with punishment, if it be Thy will, but let us never be oblivious of Thy presence. Father, receive the unctuous fervor of my soul. What word shall I speak in the sincerity of my heart? The greatest gift I have to give to those that I love, Thy devotees, is that I may place Thy love in the hearts of all, for Thy love's sake. Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, no more with words will I pray, but with my heart, and with the fervor of my intuition, for I know that Thou art listening to my voice of prayer, and to every cell call of my soul, receive the fervent devotion of our hearts. No more with mere words and fragments of sincerity, but from the depths of our yearning souls we offer our loyalty to Thee. In health or sickness, in wealth or poverty, in security or disaster, in delusion or attunement, in life or death, we stand before the altar of our love, unconditionally loving Thee alone forever and forevermore. Mother speaking again, I think that is an absolutely powerful prayer for every one of us, the disciples of the Lord, and it is my prayer for each one of you. Truly, this is the greatest gift I can give you, and this is the gift of the love of God that flows in my heart. It is the understanding of His infinite and eternal love, that which is within you, if you will only open your heart and your mind to receive it. I think that's absolutely beautiful and perfect. Master was so powerful in his expression. And you can feel, I could feel, what tremendous fervency there was in his heart as he was writing those words and speaking them to God. Verily, it was God himself who was flowing through Master's heart, God's prayer for all of us that we should awaken unto him. If God be all-powerful, then why should God be asking in prayer for us to love him? Why not simply make us love him? And it is because our love is a choice. Our love is something that comes with tests. These tests are not designed to make us fail. They are designed to make us strong. Because when we face tests, when we are tempted by this body through desire, through pain, through difficulty in this world, because our dreams are not being fulfilled, we are tested in so many ways. And always the test is, will we put God first? Will we love him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength, and all of our souls? Will we serve and love our neighbor as ourselves? These are the things that test us day in and day out. And it is all done with one purpose only, and that is to perfect us. To perfect our minds, to perfect our nervous system, to perfect our souls and our hearts, to purify us of everything that is not of God. This is the tremendous thing about this life. We are not given a handbook. We are not given something that tells us this is the truth of life. Oftentimes we are just simply thrown in, like the father who throws the child in at the end of the pier and says, "Now learn to swim." And so here we are, and we have to learn to swim, and it's not because God is being mean. He knows us. He trusts in us. He knows that the difficulties of this world will help to awaken us, and through our awakening, we realize the helplessness of individual will, and we go to rely upon spiritual will alone. When I came into this world, I was of very mixed nature. On the one hand, when I was alone in my room, I could hear the Om so loud that it felt like it was crushing me. It was painful and difficult. I had no explanation of what this was or why it was occurring to me. I didn't have the methods at the time to be able to expand my consciousness and to release that pressure, because consciousness, trying to contain this powerful sound, this powerful vibration, this powerful consciousness, that our instinct is to try to encapsulate it, try to govern it, try to make it obey us. And the more we try to do it, the more its nature is to expand, to go beyond the limitation. So there's this eternal struggle that goes on. Whereas God is constantly trying to express himself in each and every one of us. And the human ego is trying to contain it. And when you are awakening spiritually, this can cause tremendous pain, tremendous pressure inside of you. And really, there is a simple technique that God gave to me. In your consciousness, for instance, if you're hearing this tremendous sound of Om, practice expanding your consciousness. Just imagine yourself out in all space, beyond the confines of this earth. Imagine yourself with unlimited room. If you have the power of God and Kundalini flowing up through your spine, if you feel the tremendous heat, if you feel the tremendous pressure from all of these experiences, simply open yourself up So oftentimes we get concentrated on the feeling of pressure, the feeling of pain, and our instinct is to close it off and to contract it, which only increases it. So you do the opposite. You expand yourself. You expand your mind, your identification. And now this omnific force has all the room it needs in order to operate, in order to help transform and change you. This is a tremendous process that goes on. For many, many years now, since I believe it was 1975, in the fall when this powerful force was first unleashed in me. And it has been my constant friend and abiding partner ever since. And it has made me stronger. I can definitely tell you that. And it has taught me many, many lessons. And because I was a householder yogi, I was striving to live in the world but not be of the world. And there were many, many times, I've talked about times when I have been driving truck. I used to drive a big 18-wheeler, and the energy would lift me up, and my eyes would start to automatically close, and this is not a good thing when you're driving an 80,000-pound vehicle down the road, that you need your eyes open, you need your alertness, awareness. And so I would pull over and I would just allow this force to flow through me until it had fulfilled whatever purpose it had come with. And gradually the energy would die back down. It was still there, but I wouldn't have to close my eyes, and I could put the truck into gear and I could continue once again. Sometimes I was in an office and this force would just take over and I would just have to close my eyes and I just have to let it have its way. Other times it wasn't possible. I was engaged in things and yet this powerful force, this powerful pressure was at work. And so I did the best that I could, balancing the needs of the world and the demands of the world with what God was putting me through at the time. And it was tremendously difficult in many ways, but I wouldn't have it any other way, really. Because everything that God did for me and through me, and sometimes it felt as if to me, that it was enacting this purification that was to allow this body and this brain and this soul consciousness to be able to expand and merge into God and God into this form. And it is a wonderful thing. It is a beautiful thing. And even today, God takes me up and He lifts me up into Himself. And whatever plans I may have had for the world, whatever I think I should be doing, they all go to naught because God comes first. I suppose if I really put my will to it, I could negate what God is doing in me and through me. But I have no will for that. The fact is that you retain your individual will throughout your life. The difference becomes is as you perfect yourself, that the inner you has no desire to go against God's will. God's will is supreme. It is the one thing that you listen to, that you obey without any question of a doubt. Eventually, through the purification that happens, that countervailing force that wants to go against God is completely purified, is completely changed over into being a devotee of God. Now God does with you as He wills. So this is the great change, the great transformation. We read many books and many things about God-realized state, and sometimes we get an unrealistic expectation over what our lives should be. One of the reasons that I have written so much about recovery, being able to recover is because I have seen in the lives of devotees, and some of them have gone into very high states of realization. And then some of them have been taken into a side trip. They haven't gone the whole way. Sometimes the agency has been alcohol. Sometimes it has been cocaine. Sometimes it is pride. Sometimes it is a disappointment that life isn't going exactly as they thought it would. And it may be that they had an unrealistic expectation. Mother did her best to inform us and to tell us of all of the difficulties that she went through, so that if we should have to face those same things, we would not suffer doubt. Because doubt is the thing that undermines us. From the very beginning, doubt was something that I had. When I met Mother, I recognized the tremendous power of God inside of her. I knew that she was experiencing what it was that God was calling me to experience. I couldn't have put it into those words at the time, because I didn't have them. I wasn't aware enough. I wasn't realized enough. But I instinctively knew who Mother was. But doubt prevailed in my mind, and I wondered, well, what if I go through this lifetime? And I end up finding out that it was all a lie, all a canard. And so this plagued me. I didn't want to be sent on a fool's errand. I only wanted the truth. Now, there's a purity about this. But when it comes to the doubting Thomas inside of you, and you even touch the wound of Christ's body, and you still doubt in your mind. We all think that if we saw certain miracles, if we saw certain things happen, that we would no longer doubt, that we would be free of it. But is this so? You might see Jesus or Mother or any of the great masters perform a great miracle. And you know what? The day after that, or an hour or a minute after that miracle, you would be wondering, well, maybe that was a psychosomatic illness this person had, and because they had faith, they were healed, and so on. Or maybe that water really wasn't water in the jug, it was really wine all along. And so you would begin to doubt, you'd begin to wonder. Or if the master wasn't life, didn't go exactly the way that you thought it would. So many of the disciples of Jesus thought that they were going to be kings. They would ride into Jerusalem. Jesus would win over the Sanhedrin and all of the Jewish population. They would rise up against the Roman occupation, as they saw it, of their lands, and that they would become rulers. And you can imagine, if you had that kind of an idea in your mind, what it would be like to see Jesus arrested, see him taken and beaten, and then put up onto a wooden cross and nailed to it, and die. That would really have to shake your faith. Doubt would, no doubt, so to speak, be with you. And so, no matter what we see in this world, doubt is something that we have to confront. It's one of the great tests that comes to us. And for 2 years with Mother, I went back and forth. I felt the tremendous power of God in her. I felt the transformation begin to happen in my own body, in my own being. And still that doubt was there, because I hadn't had the full experience. I hadn't had the full realization. But the doubt was a drag. It was like an anchor that kept me at shore instead of sailing out onto the sea as I wanted to do. So I finally reasoned inside of myself. And I thought to myself, well, in following Mother and doing all of this, is it the highest light that I know? Is there something I know that's better? Absolutely not. Not even close. All right then. If I'm following my highest light, if I'm following the truth, and I'm absolutely dedicated to truth, if something doesn't go the way that Mother says it's going to go, if it goes awry in some way, and I find out the truth is elsewhere, I'll follow the truth, because truth is what's most important here. So as long as I follow the truth every moment of every day, then I'm happy, I'm satisfied. And even if I come to the end of my days and I find out that everything that I thought, everything that I believed was a lie, I would still feel satisfied because I was following the highest light that I knew. And so I reasoned through it this way. And as I did so, and I knew that I was dedicated toward truth, to speak the truth, to say the truth, to do the truth, and find the absolute truth. I knew that deep in my soul. That's something I could hang my hat on. And so with that, it allowed me to proceed forward without that nagging doubt always dragging me back. And that is the way I think we should all be. We are in a vast experimental laboratory, and we are all working out our versions of truth. Now, when we have not fully realized it, we can easily admit whatever it is that I conceive of a truth has probably got some fallacy in it. Because unless and until I have realized it, deep within myself, down in the cells of my being, you know, when you get these revelations from God, they don't just come as a thought. They don't just come like a wisp of wind. They are powerful. And they affect you down to the cells of your being, the cells of your body. I oftentimes thought that the reason that God made my experiences in Him so physical, so visceral, is that He wanted to convince me through my body that these experiences were real. And so when you experience a truth that comes from God, every cell of your body vibrates to that truth. It's like a tuning fork. And it all sets it ablaze. And you know it. You don't know it just in your mind. You know it throughout your entire being. This is a great and vast difference. Sometimes people will have certain ideas, and they'll write about them, and they'll say, well, this is the truth, because this is what I believe it to be. But they haven't realized it down to that level. And they may be echoing what they had heard. They may be echoing something that somebody who has truly realized has said. But they have not yet encompassed it within their own being. They haven't lived it. They haven't let it ring out through every cell of their being. And until we do, we can't really say that we have discovered the truth. And even when we say we have discovered the truth, it may not voice itself through us so very easily. That is why Jesus talked in parables. And it's a tremendous thing that it says that He taught with parables, and without parables He did not teach. And He told His inner group that to you is given the truth, but to others it is given in parables. And you think about all the different kinds of people that there are in this world. And if you have somebody who is, say, very salt of the earth, they can be a good person, fine. But they're just not very interested in the finer esoteric truths. They haven't grown to that point. And they go to church and they hear something about the money changers and operating in this world with integrity and not bringing greed into the church and so on. And they can get valuable lessons out of this. And then for somebody who's gone further on the path, they hear about the money changers, and that's that part inside of us that's the materialist. It's more than money. It's this material world that has stolen away our bliss. Instead of being in the temple with purity of intention, we're with mixed intentions. And those are even the very greatest, the very highest of souls before they've attained the greatest amount of truth, until they become totally purified and totally transformed. And so this countervailing force is still inside of us. And these are the money changers that are inside our temple. Now, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples and saying, to you it is given the inner truth, to others it is given in parable or the outer stories, this also happens inside of you, the cells of your body. Some of them are highly, highly refined. You get into the chakras within your spine. And they can resonate with the very highest of truths as you ascend up through the spinal stairway. And you get to the heart. You get to the fifth chakra in the throat. You get to the sixth chakra, coming in at the medulla and being projected onto the ajna. You get to the seventh chakra at the crown of the head, the very top of the head. And these cells, these parts of your body, can know the truth, can receive it. But to the vast citizens who exist throughout the body, they don't necessarily get all of the refined truth, but they can, as I said earlier, they can resonate with it. They can glory in the Christ and the power of the Christ and the bliss of the Christ. And they are uplifted through this, and they are transformed. But they get the parables because they're existing at different levels of consciousness. Every cell in your body represents a stage of consciousness. Every organ in your body represents various stages of consciousness. And so all of these receive the truth, receive the vibration of the Christ consciousness in their own way. But these special centers within your spine, and you get to the Christ center, and they're able to channel that Christ consciousness perfectly. They know it. They experience it. They are one with it. And then you go to the seventh chakra. You go to the Heavenly Father that's even beyond the Christ. And there you merge into oneness. It's an indescribable experience. You go beyond words. You go beyond any sense of I and thou, any sense of separation whatsoever. And you merge into that complete and total divine consciousness. And this is the Christ ascending. He said to Mary, who represents feeling nature. Now, feeling nature can be directed towards the senses, or feeling nature can be pointed towards God. And Mary represents that transformation of going from body consciousness to Christ consciousness. So she's the first one to discover the resurrected Christ. That's a very interesting thing, isn't it? And is she given credit for that? Not so much. The story is told. But the Christ nature says, touch me not, because she was not yet, and he was not yet totally purified and totally refined. So there was danger there that consciousness and the mind could be redirected back to the sense nature. So at that time, you're very careful with your actions. You don't overindulge in food. You stay away from alcohol and smoking and drugs because you don't want any bad habits to get reignited. Maybe things that you've overcome for a very long time, maybe for lifetimes, but suddenly you get re-exposed to it. And even though you've attained such a high state, you started into the mystical crucifixion. Nevertheless, your attention turns. And it's absolutely essential that we have the humility and the centeredness on God to be able to recover even if we do fall. It is said that the Christ fell three times on its way to the hill to Golgotha. And so we too can fall. And recovery is absolutely essential. That we turn to God in our extremity. That we're always focused upon that one divine source. And when we do that, and we do it in all humility, and we do it with the full attention of our mind, then God will pick us up. He will send whatever it is that we need to help us go further. and recover from what we have done. And so this is why I talk about recovery, because I have seen examples where those who had risen so high did not recover. And as a result, they did not go the whole way toward their God realization. What a terrible feeling it must be to come to that point where you realize that you missed one of the best opportunities ever presented to a human being. A guru who gave the methods, who gave the way and paved the way for God realization. There's a book written by Gopi Krishna in which he described having these kundalini experiences, but he had no teacher. And I thought, how strange that God did not send a teacher to him. And then God told me that he had rejected his teacher at a previous time. He had gone into these experiences, but he rejected his teacher. And as a result of that, he had to pay a price. And so even though he was inwardly helped, and sometimes outwardly helped, but not very much, he suffered a great deal because he questioned, why does nobody I meet, no teachers here in India, they don't know about these experiences? Some of them have read about them, but none of them can tell me about the experiences I am having. And so he doubted himself, and he was not able to work during that time. And he even though he was a Brahmin, he was needing to have to eat meat during this time. And he could inwardly see this kundalini light coming up and would actually start to eat this meat that he would have, and he would start to recover. But it cost money, and he wasn't making any money, and his wife was having to suffer, and whole family had to suffer because he was going through this. And you think, isn't that terrible? But in the end, he was able to write about his experiences and hopefully help others if they were to go through similar experiences, even as our own Divine Mother has talked about her experiences, so that we can know when we're going through. When I went through the dark night of the soul, when I went through all of these different experiences, because of Mother's teachings, I knew that what I was going through was part and parcel of all of the experiences required in order to gain God realization. And what peace that brings to you. Otherwise, you might think that you are going crazy if there is no one to tell you that this is part of what it takes to go to God realization. This mystical crucifixion, this rising up of the kundalini, the opposing forces that come to you, and all of the times that we need to recover on the way. So this is not to sow doubt in you that you may have to face these oppositional forces. You most certainly will have to face them. And they are self-created. It's whatever you've done in the past. It comes back to you. But as you face them and you overcome them, then you become master of yourself. And through those experiences, then, you will be lifted up. And your soul will rise up in thanksgiving, because everything that God has done through you has helped to take you one step at a time toward Him. So let us, this time of thanksgiving, really give thanks for everything that God has given to us. Let us give thanksgiving in advance for what God is to bring to us. O Lord, You have put me on to this path. You have shown me the way in which to attain my oneness with You. Thank You, O Father, for providing everything that I need in order to purify and perfect myself. and that you should draw me unto yourself. Thank you, O Father. O Divine Mother, you are ever watching after me. You are as careful as a mother with its child, and looking to remove all obstacles, and to give me strength and to give me love when I need it most. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, you are always with me, and for that I give such thanks. And in this way, you project into the future, and you see God as your constant guide and protector, your beloved. And then your path is strewn with God, to the left, to the right, above and below, because you have projected that out, and he will see to it that you are given everything that is required in order to know him. I thank our Heavenly Father, our Divine Mother, that we can travel this journey together, that we can be part of something that is here to transform not only the individual self, but the world itself. That what we experience within goes out from us, and it transforms this world, lifts it higher into divine consciousness. So what you do not just simply do for yourself, but you do it for this world. And that we should be able to share this journey, I give tremendous thanks to the Divine One, to the Infinite Beloved, who came to me as my Guru and lifted me up into his arms. God, Christ, Gurus.